time that we're in. A lot of us have been following, or some of us have been following the Lord for a while now, and we're pretty faithful as we look at ourselves with that loving God command, because He's easy to love. You know, we can come together with other believers and we celebrate and we sing and we make much of God and we feel really great about Him because we know that He loves us with an unconditional love because He's perfect and He's awesome. But I think there's a lot of times we get tripped up on the other part of those commands, loving other people and making disciples. We know that loving other people and making disciples means we have to take time out of our lives and we have to make an effort to build a relationship with others and lovingly leading them over time into a relationship with Jesus. Church Reimagined means that we are committed to yield our lives to God so that He can work in us, through His love, to save other people. Sometimes that's really hard to live out because loving and serving other people at times can be extremely messy. It can be very uncomfortable at times. Sometimes it can even be costly to love other people. Because when our lives, when the lives of church folks start intersecting with the lives of people who are unchurched, that really sometimes don't have some things in common with us, they don't know much about some of the values that we might have, we begin to build a relationship with them and get to know them, and it becomes a bridge. And the thing about a bridge is not only does it give us the opportunity to step into their life, it gives them the opportunity to come into ours. And they will. And they'll bring some of their troubles and some of their stress and some of their ideas along with them. But some of them will be saved. But sometimes we struggle with that. I've been in church settings before where we launched ministries into the community that did everything we'd hoped and prayed would happen, where many people were getting saved and becoming part of the church, but they didn't talk like us, they didn't dress like us, they didn't act like us. And pretty soon the people who were in the pews started getting turned off to the fact that their prayers were being answered and that people were coming in who were a little different than they were. Because a lot of times we want things under our control. We want things to be predictable. We want things to be our way instead of God's way. Church Reimagined means that we're willing to share the hope that we found in Jesus Christ with those who have no hope, even when they're very different than we are. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "In your hearts revere Christ as Lord," which means worship Him as the Lord of your life. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, this hope in Jesus Christ. But do this with gentleness and respect." The more we get outside of the building and we're intentional about really interacting with people and getting to know people in the community who don't have hope, it gives us more opportunities for people to ask us about the hope that we have, to see the difference in our lives. Even though we still have troubles, they see this hope within us because of Jesus, and it makes them curious. For some reason, and I certainly include me in this, excuse me, sometimes it really takes overwhelming situations to bring us to the point in our lives where we come to the end of ourselves. That was the case for me when I came to Christ, and some of you know my testimony. I'm not going to go into it tonight, but there's times when I have counseled people who didn't know Jesus, and they were really at the end of themselves. And with a lot of sincerity and grace, because I'd experienced that myself, I said, "You know, I know it's difficult, and you don't really realize this, but you're in a great place right now because you're at the end of yourself. And you've got nowhere to go but to God. And He's there." And I think when we do that, you know, we're telling people that there's hope, and that's what they want to hear. That's what they need to hear. We're saying, you know, you feel overwhelmed, and I understand that. And you feel that things are so difficult, and you feel like in your situation there's no way you're ever going to get past where you are right now. whatever that is. You know, for me, that was a loss of a spouse at one time. It could be the weight of shame, of guilt over your sins. I've certainly been there. It could be going through a divorce or a night in jail or whatever it is that brings you to the end of yourself. Sometimes a call from a doctor with results that you didn't want to hear. But whatever it is, you know, we come to the end of ourself, and Jesus is waiting there, and he's not waiting there to fix it. He's not there necessarily to just come in and make everything okay and make all of our problems disappear. But when we come to him in need and we lay hold of him as our rescuer, he's there. And he is with us. And he walks through whatever it is alongside us until we come out of it. And when that happens, it changes who you are. And it changes how you look at God. And you begin to find real hope. I heard a story several years ago about the United States Navy doing some maneuvers off the coast of Massachusetts. And there was a surface vessel, and they collided with a submarine. And the submarine sank to the bottom of the ocean floor. And they sent rescuers down there. The damage they knew was extensive just from the oil and fuel being released. They knew it was catastrophic. I don't think they expected to find anybody alive, but they sent rescuers anyway. And when the rescue team reached the submarine, finally, in the dark and in the cold, and I can only imagine how scared any survivors would have been in that situation, they put listening devices against the hull of the sub to find out if it was even worth trying to rescue anyone, if there was any survivors at all. And on the side of the submarine, in Morse code, they heard one message tapped out. And the message was, "Is there any hope?" Right now in Kokomo and other communities, there are families that are disintegrating. There are marriages, many of you know, that are crumbling. There's a lot of friends and family addicted to porn and drugs and alcohol. There are people whose minds are clouded by a lot of deception and darkness. If you have any doubt about how hopeless a lot of kids feel, ask a teacher in a public school setting what it's like at home for most kids these days. And I think a lot of the people in our community are asking, is there any hope for me? Is there any hope in my life? And they're looking for a rescuer for them. They're looking for Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19, it says, "In all of this," and what it's talking about is God's love for us and how he's making us new. "All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation." I know that a person doesn't necessarily have to go through catastrophe in order to come to the end of themselves and realize that they need Jesus Christ, to decide that it's better to live God's way instead of their way. They just have to understand that they need Jesus. They have to understand that they need a relationship with God, and the only way to have that is through the way that God has provided. They need to acknowledge their need for him and turn away from themselves and their sin and put their trust in him and receive new hope and new life. So Here's Hope is going to be intentional about seeing the people in our city the way that God sees them, as people who need a rescuer, people who need hope, people who need Jesus Christ. And we're going to reach out to them with the love of God. We're going to go where people are, because no matter how often we keep inviting them, most of them are never going to come here until we first go there. So we're going to go where they are, and we're going to serve them in various ways and show them the love of Christ without any strings attached. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit is going to use that, and He's going to speak to their hearts, and He's going to provide conversations with people, and He's going to give us the opportunity to share the hope that we have because of Jesus. Jesus introduced the idea of doing this a long time ago by giving a command and a promise, and it's in Mark 4:19. Jesus said, "Follow me," and that was the command, and then the promise, "and I will make you fishers of men." And then after some time in the Word and in prayer with Jesus, those disciples were sent out. And they went to people who were very broken, and they said, "You know, there's hope. God can make you whole." And they went to people who were in mourning, and they said, "God can restore your joy again." And they went to people who were empty, and they said, "God can fill you up." And they went to those who would be honest about their sins, that they'd been living life their way instead of God's way. And they said, "You can be accepted by God through Jesus Christ. You can have new life, and you can have new hope." And that's the message of reconciliation that God has given us, that we cannot save anyone. Only God can do that, but He uses us. He gives us the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And we communicate that with our lips, and then God demonstrates the proof of what we're saying through our lives as we live life with other people. As Here's Hope, we're going to engage with people where they are and serve them and meet needs in our community. And one of the ways we're going to do that is called Go For Sundays. We're not sure what all activities that will entail. We know some of the ideas that we've had is to go out and mow yards for people who can't mow their yard, or maybe even if they can, to go out and give cold water bottles to people at the park on a hot day, take groceries to people who maybe have lost a job, or even just go to the cemetery and hand flowers to people as they come in to visit the graves of loved ones. Or one of my favorites, drive-by praying. I may be the only one in the car, but I love going past places and praying for them. We're hoping also to go out on Friday evenings. We're hoping if it works out, if we can get permits to do this, to some of the local parks and do some movie nights and do some cookouts and maybe game nights, or just some things that are fun with families in the community, just to bless them. And always keeping in mind that it really isn't about a new ministry project or a new ministry idea. It's about people. We want to build relationships with people in our community so that Jesus Christ can touch them in a way that lasts for eternity. We want to show them that God's love is bigger than their mess and bigger than our mess. Our first three Go For Sundays are going to be June 26th, July 24th, and August 28th. And we're going to be providing details as that develops. If you look on the website, www.myhopekokomo.org, you can find updates there. As things progress, we'll have maybe even sign-ups. We're going to try to arrange that where you can sign up for things on there. And Kim has some reminder cards, if you'd like, for those dates. If you want to be reminded of when those are, just raise your hand and she can get you one of those. And next Saturday, we'll have a short message, probably shorter than today. And part of that is because we want to do some sign-ups for another event called Serve Together. And Serve Together is a lot like the Go For Sundays, but Serve Together is actually many churches in Kokomo coming together. Right now there's over 30 churches signed up to do this, including Carpenter's House. And Here's Hope. So we're going to work alongside other churches in the community to go out. We can sign up as part of teams. You get to choose. Nobody's going to make you get too far outside of your comfort zone. There's over 300 potential signups, right? I think, Eric? Yeah. Over 300 things you can sign up for. It's June 11th and 12th for Serve Together. June 11th is a Saturday, and that is from 1 to 4. June 12th is a Sunday, and that's 10 to 1 and 1 to 4. You can sign up for any of those three-hour shifts and sign up for different activities, but just to go out and bless people in the community alongside other brothers and sisters in Christ. So we'll do sign-ups next week for that. If you have ever participated in a ministry that goes out in the community, or even ones that just gather together as the body of Christ to bless people, like even retreat settings like the Emmaus Walk or Great Banquet, any of those things, you know how great it is to just see people loved on, and they don't even, you know, necessarily know who you are, but you're doing things to show the love of Christ and how much they're blessed. But the really awesome thing about that is when you're the one who's giving, when you're the one who has the opportunity to show God's love to somebody and be on the giving side of that is even better than receiving. So I just want to encourage you to step outside of your comfort zone, and even if you're a little nervous about it, just do it. Just try it out, to go out in the community and bless people and serve, and it will you'll be blessed even more than the people that you do things for. Another cool part of that about serving is that for some of us, I know a lot of people I talk to are concerned about discipleship. They're concerned about their own growth as a Christian. And sometimes one of the missing links in our growth as a Christian, you know, we have times of worship, which is great, and we grow through that. And we have time in God's Word, and we have time in prayer, and we have great accountability relationships. And those are all wonderful things, and those are all very necessary. But sometimes the missing link for some of us in our growth is service. It's the opportunity to really just go out and be the hands and feet of Christ. So you'll be blessed. It'll help you grow if you go do that. So as we're going to wrap up here pretty soon, I just had a couple more things to say, and then we'll have a time of prayer, and the worship team will come back up here in a few minutes. But what time is it? Anybody know what time? 7:05? Okay. Cool. What's that? Oh, okay. Yeah, also, thank you. On that Sunday, June 12th, after the third service time was served together, the first large community service at Jackrabbit Stadium in Kokomo will be held at 6 o'clock. They're expecting it to be the largest worship gathering ever in Kokomo. So you don't want to miss it. It's going to be incredible. I tried to keep the message short. I hope I did. I may have ran a little longer than I was hoping to. And the reason is I want us to be able to talk to you. And I know that we haven't answered a lot of questions. We probably raised a few questions, too. And that's great. And just want to have a time to dialogue with you. Most of you know Kim already. Is she in here? Kim? There she is. My wife, Kim, and Sean and Amber Cooper back here, if you'd raise your hands, are part of our leadership team. And then Rick and Anola. Also, we would love to talk with you about Here's Hope, what God's doing. This is just a beginning, and there are some things that we know that God's put on our hearts, and He's growing us and developing this as we go, and we're learning and growing. But we would love to just talk with you and hear your thoughts and your questions and just what's going on in your life. So please don't rush off when we're done. There's refreshments. And we're intending to hang out and talk with you for a while. The worship team, if you'd go ahead and come on up. I've talked some about Here's Hope being a go-and-tell church, you know, that we're going to leave the four walls and get out in the community. And that's part of who we are, but we're also a come-and-see church. You know, we want people to come and see what God's doing as we gather together and as we pray for each other and as we share the love of Christ and spend time in His Word and see what God's doing with us. So part of coming and seeing, part of gathering together is praying for each other, and we don't want to neglect that. So if you would like anyone to pray with you this evening, please do come up. Sean and Amber, would you guys come on up? And Rick and Anola too, if you could. And we'd be so blessed and honored to pray for you, because it's not just a matter of, you know, people out there who need hope. You know, people in here need hope too. And real quick, before we get into a time of prayer, and the worship team can play as we have that time of prayer, the altar will be open. If you want to come up and pray and kneel down, you can. Or if you'd like to pray with one of us, you can. If you'd like to pray where you are, that's okay. But I want to share something just really, really quick. In the book of Hosea, There's a prophet named Hosea, and he has a wife who's been unfaithful. Because of her unfaithfulness, there's a lot of shame, there's a lot of guilt, there's a lot of just dysfunction, and their marriage and their life is a wreck. And it's really cool because it's an illustration of God's love for people too, and how in our mess, often that we bring on ourselves, that God wants to give us hope, and he wants to give us a restored relationship. And I want to just share this with you briefly. From Hosea, it says, "Then I will bring her back once again." And the Lord's saying that, you know, people who've been turned away from me, I'm going to bring them back to myself. "And I will lead her into a desert." So God's saying, I'm going to bring her to this quiet place, this place alone with me in a desert. "And when we're there, I'm going to speak tenderly to her. I will return her vineyards to her." So he's going to bring her to a place of refreshing and of life and of hope. And then God says, and this part was really amazing. He said, you know, I'm going to take the valley of Achor. And if you look at the meaning of that word in the Hebrew, Achor means trouble. So this woman who's been far away from her husband, this people who've been in a place of bringing trouble upon themselves, have been far away from God. And God says, in the valley of trouble, I'm going to turn that place into a gateway of hope. And that's what God does with us, that sometimes he doesn't lead us immediately out of a place of trouble. Sometimes he lets us just stay in that desert with him because he's got our attention there. It's a quiet place as we seek him. And he meets us there and eventually leads us to a gateway of hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just so glad that we have your promise that no matter what is going on in our lives, Lord, no matter what our story is, that if Jesus has come into our life, and if Jesus is our rescuer, Lord, it's only the beginning of our story. Father, we know that each of us, churched or unchurched, have times of hurt and suffering. But God, as your people, we know that you're with us. And we know there's coming a day, Lord, when you're going to wipe every tear from our eyes. We know there's coming a day when all the stress is going to be shed forever. All the mourning and all the crying, Lord, and all the pain and all the death is going to be gone. There's that day coming, Lord, when you're just going to make everything beautiful and new again. But in the meantime, Lord, we just lay hold of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to say to ourselves and to say to others that whatever valley they find themselves in right now, that in your perfect timing, Lord, you're going to come along beside them, and you're going to whisper encouragement to them, Lord, and eventually you're going to turn that place into a gateway of hope. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.